The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans?" "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or these 18 who were killed with the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree and still find none. Cut it down. Why should I be wasting the soil?" The gardener replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, then you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. There's a newer book out there that has gained my attention and has also turned into a movie called Wild, written by Cheryl Strayed. And if you haven't seen the movie, it's pretty good. It stars Reese Witherspoon. And in the story of this movie and book are the story of the author and her quest and looking into what is life now. She's driven to the end by the loss of her beloved mother, the dissolution of her marriage, and heading into a nosedive with self-destructive behavior, which includes drug use. And so she decides to venture out with no outdoor experience, with a heavy backpack and little else to go on but her own will. She sets out and hikes the Pacific Crest Trail, a 1,000-mile-long trail, one of the country's longest and toughest through trails. I won't give away the ending for you to this story because it's a very good book. But the question that Cheryl talks about at the very end, something that she gains, a new important insight, the question of what am I going to do with the time that has been given to me? It's a question that many times I don't think we want to ask, but something that goes through our mind a lot. Our gospel reading from the book of Luke, I find, is a frustrating one. It's just as powerful, actually, as it is frustrating, but the frustration comes from this. You know, Jesus seizes on two calamities that have been discussed about at the local pub or watering hole, to historical events that we don't really have any other information about besides this document of Luke. The one being an instance of state-sanctioned terror. Pontius Pilate, who goes on to have a long role with Jesus in the Passion, For some reason, murders a group of Galileans for some political purpose. I don't know why. And the other, a random accident, some sort of tower structure collapsing on innocent people. Both saw people snuffed out with little warning for really no clear and apparent reason. Both kinds of events lead us to think about the precariousness of life. And so what is frustrating for me about this text is that Jesus doesn't really approach the famous question that we all want to answer. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why, God, do these senseless, harmful, stupid things happen that claim innocent lives? Jesus doesn't give an answer. Unfortunately, So before you throw out this story in disgust and think of it as useless, let me tell you this. He does answer, I think, an important question. Another important question. And that is, did this bad thing happen to these people because God was somehow punishing them for sin? Jesus is very clear. No. Absolutely not. To both situations that are obviously on the minds of the people around Jesus, he underlines the fact that these innocent lives were just as important to God, just as good, just as bad as you and I are. They were people living their lives, lives that for most were cut too soon. So, as an aside, coming from a pastor who gets frustrated by the old, worn-out theological mentality, next time you hear someone say to you after a tragedy, or a death, or a loss of some kind, next time you hear somebody say, you know what, they deserved it, or they must not have lived up to God's plan, I give you permission as pastor to stare them in the eye and say, that's a load of crock. Because it simply does not make any sense from what we know of God and how God works. And Jesus himself powerfully points to this in the scripture. You know, so here's why we get scared, I think, of some of these texts and why some of these texts get used in damaging ways. It's verses like this, like verse 4 in this passage. But unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. Ah, yes, the evil word repent and our 19th century guilt complex that comes with it. In actuality, I'll tell you the truth. Repent is an absolutely terrible translation of the Greek word metanoia. I've said this in other sermons before, but I think it's worth repeating that the meaning of metanoia is about invitation. It's about the change of our whole selves, of our lives. It literally means, actually, to turn oneself. That's what metanoia means. So it's not about guilt. It's not about shame. It's not about punishment. It's about accepting an invitation. Accepting an invitation to change our hearts. Accepting God's invitation to see things anew, to be in deeper relationship with. Not a checklist to feel sorry about. So, what I think Jesus is actually saying here really is, unless you turn yourself, unless you open yourself up to new ideas, to new relationships, to deeper things in this life, unless we open ourselves up to new ways of trust, of peace, of love of God and neighbor, in the time that we have left on earth, we'll perish. It's not exactly a warm and fuzzy Jesus. I'll call it an honest Jesus. But here's the thing. The word perish, now that gets people a little bit scared too. Well, what does perish mean? And I don't think here, this is my interpretation of this text, but I don't think that Jesus uses the word perish here in referring to the tragedies or physical death like we think about. Another way to translate the Greek word for perish, in fact, it appears a lot in the writings of Socrates, is simply to lose one's way. Unless you turn yourself, you open yourself to new ideas, new love, you will lose your way. Jesus, I think, is encouraging us in this text to stop dwelling in the why And to start asking the, well, what now? And that's where the parable of the fig tree, I think, comes in at the later part of this story. Because this story challenges us to think about existence. What is our purpose? What does being granted more time allow us to do? You know, there's a comedic twist to this story, as we don't hear anything about what happens afterwards, right? What happens to this tree? Does it bear fruit? Is it saved? Is it chopped down? We end with the manure. We end with the poop. The poop is spread and the time is given. Now what? You know, there are a lot of great things that come from poop. And there are a lot of people in the environmental studies department that can tell you what things come from poop. Flowers, trees, organisms, soil, that all with time are turned. Spreading the manure brings the fig tree back to its roots, both figuratively and literally. And with time, it gives it proper nutrients to flourish. On Ash Wednesday, a couple weeks ago, we made the sign of a cross on our foreheads, saying, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." What if manure is the same concept? Now, clearly, I'm not suggesting that next year we spread manure over our foreheads. But the power of coming back to our roots, of giving ourselves nutrients and a time in order to answer the what's next question, I think is pivotal. How many of us give ourselves the real chance to do this? Certainly not me. And it doesn't have to be, I don't think, big extravagant things like Cheryl Strayed did hiking the Pacific Crest Trail either. What if this time of Lent could be a time for you to embrace the poop, to reflect on what's next and what your purpose is, to get back to your identity and the time that you have left? And I'll say this, you know, every single one of us has anger, has doubt, has judgment, and many of us have gone through very painful loss and upheaval. Certainly the people around Jesus, when they were asking him about these events, were probably hurting. We're probably angry. And sometimes, maybe, this is the place that we need to be in. Sometimes, maybe, this to feel that anger, that upheaval, that loss, that's okay. That's where we're at. And I'm sorry that this text doesn't answer that question for you. But it answers another really important one. And I think for many of us, there might need to be some time to get back to what's next. So I encourage you to embrace the manure. I encourage you to get back to the roots, to give yourself time. For we are all the children of God. And in repenting, in turning, in transforming ourselves into deeper people of faith and relationship, God will transform our communities and our world. Thanks be to God. God's work our hands, right? As the National Lutheran Church says. So I think it's time then to get work
and to celebrate the time that we have left. Thanks be to God. Amen.